Welcome to Critical Drinking.
Yes.
I'm Kevin Regan.
I'm Ryan Maley.
And we are joined today by Matt Regan. Again.
The brothers.
We're back.
The brothers Grimm.
That's right. Welcome to Critical Drinking. This is the podcast where we drink beer, we watch movies, and we talk about them. And let me tell you, today we're going to be doing more of the beer drinking.
That's true.
What we're watching today.
I got two right in front of me.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm drifting into a Keystone line.
We're watching Boogie Nights and doing top five soundtracks. This was Matt's idea. He had wanted to join us for a PTA movie.
Paul Thomas Anderson. I wanted to do one with Matt.
And he had to be
Welcome.
Back with...
Well,
here I am. Welcome to the show.
Here we are.
That's right. Where did that... Your mouth moved when you went to drink that.
Good thing I brought that extra pair of shorts.
Have you been drinking before?
Yeah, I already got buffalo wings on me.
Ryan is hammered already.
From Reno.
Poured half his Keystone Light down his lap.
Mm-hmm. I got wet panties.
It's alright though. He's drunk.
Straw shanties and wet panties. Coconut Pete's That's most right. famous album.
Oh. Pina Colada Berg came out like 3 years before.
Son of a bitch.
That's right. So yeah, we're doing that. Because Matt wanted to do a PTA movie and we had to do one with Ryan, when Ryan was here, because you remember Matt joined me.
I love the Parent Teachers Association.
That's right.
It's really so, awesome. They make some good films.
So, Boogie Nights.
Sexual education awareness?
Mm-hmm.
It actually is.
It is, yeah.
That's a joke that turned out correct.
But, so we're watching that, doing that top five, but we're going to have to, like, we're going to be breaking in the middle for a while because we are going to the Temper Trap concert tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will be doing this intro, watching the movie, going to the concert, coming back, and resuming where we're at. So
it could be an adventure when we get
That's
back.
Right.
If we
That's
get
right.
that far.
That's right. we need a beer. Or we need a burp
Gas.
Sound. Should it be this? Actually, I should cut out Adam's burp. But before we get into anything, let's go over the results of the finals of the Expendables tournament.
So sad. It's over.
It is. It's over. Well, Expendables came out yesterday.
Oh, it did.
So,
rip-roaring reviews.
The finals were between John McClane of Die Hard fame and Corbin Dallas.
John McClane in space.
That's right. John McClane in space, also known as Corbin Dallas in The Fifth Element.
All of us voted here. Oh, wait, no, we didn't.
Well, who would you have voted for?
Corbin.
Yeah, well, that's why Corbin lost.
Mm-hmm.
John McClane wins handily. Up until, I believe, yesterday, it was a runaway. It was 100%. And then mm-hmm. yesterday, someone voted for Corbin Dallas. And it wasn't
He does
you.
Have four movies.
So. It was the ghost of me.
Yeah, it must have been. So, John McClane wins 83% to 17%. I would have voted for John McClane. If nothing else, he's way
you
more badass.
Or you did?
I did.
Okay.
But John McClane's way more badass. He kills way more people. He's got more movies.
He doesn't have shoes half the time.
That's right. And he doesn't wear shoes. Corbin Dallas, first of all, is a cheater because he's in space and he wears shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's only got one
And he
movie.
Didn't direct a plane to land like in...
That's right. On Christmas, for mm-hmm. God's sake.
In the
On
snow?
Christmas.
With Dennis Friends mm-hmm. near him.
That's right.
NYPD yuck.
Die Hard 2 had a great twist, though.
They weren't real bullets.
They weren't real bullets, yeah.
They weren't real
Spoiler
bullets.
Spoiler alert! But,
And they're in a church.
So there was one thing, I don't know how I forgot to intro when we're doing Boogie Nights. This is mustache edition of Critical Drinking, and I hope to God you guys can see this right now mm-hmm. through the sound waves.
You may have to take a photo.
Yeah, because Matt's stash is incredible.
It's
if you
so
see,
awesome.
If you see his Seattle pics from last week, imagine that. Minus the beard.
Coolest.
Kind of like
stash
minus the bear,
ever.
Except with a D on the end. Minus the beard.
Okay.
Minus
okay.
the beard. Anyways, that's a.
It's a sight for
I digress.
Awesome eyes.
But, yeah, so we'll probably take a pic with these. But Ryan and I are going to be wearing fake mustaches.
I had a mustache once. It was clear. But I couldn't
right.
curl it. That was cool.
You still got the beard, though. And you're slowly
yeah,
growing the.
Well,
growing
the beard's
back.
Slowly becoming. That way.
Yeah.
And now it's going this way.
Yep. That's right.
Just for all those people that don't know.
So that can see it. You're pointing at your face.
Mm-hmm.
It's going this way. But now it's going this way. Now it's going this way. You guys all get that? Good. Hopefully they do.
Better.
But I don't know. What we came off this is the episode coming off the commentary. Didn't hear any
So that one guy said he added it to commentary somewhere.
What?
You read that on the blog?
No. There was a comment?
Yeah, someone's like, I put this in the commentary library at commentarydildos.com.
Oh, that's like a good site. I go there all the time.
This dildo is awesome.
It's a good commentary for dildo. I don't know what. But, we haven't heard any feedback about that or anything else. So let us know what you think if you listened to it, if you didn't. Or, if you didn't, obviously, there's nothing to...
Yeah, just remember next time you watch Raiders of the Lost Ark, just put it in.
That's right. Put it in and turn us on, and there you go. You'll
turn me on.
But let's do, anything else
before we don't have a new poll question yet.
That's right. Yeah, that'll be up on the website, but we don't have it yet. What are we going to do next week?
I don't know.
I don't either. That would be an easy way to figure out a poll question, to figure out what we're going to
watch. No, we came in ill-prepared.
That's right. That's okay.
Yeah.
Let's do predictions. Guest host, Matt Regan, prediction, including the one in your hand that is...
And during the movie.
Pretty full looking.
All right, I've been outside all day.
I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Warm. It's been warm. He needs a thirst quencher.
Oh, okay.
Definitely 95 degrees plus. Yeah.
I thought you were going to use it as an excuse.
Yeah, when we were driving up the hill, 99 degrees by our house.
And I think I did 6 last
time. You were down in beers like chiclets last time.
So this is a longer movie by far.
2 hours, 35 minutes.
Yeah, I'll do 7.
Boom! That's good. How about you?
Good trick. If you can't make it, just spill it on yourself. Get rid of a good quarter of the beer.
That's right.
My mustache will absorb it.
That's true. You can just pour it into a
stash. That's the best. What you need right now is some Grape Loco. I had a mustache once. Had Grape Loco out of a red cup. Smelt it all next day.
Dude,
I was
so
too
bad.
Hungover to take a shower, so I just watched TV and just took the grape smell. It was so
took
bad.
Take it. Now taste it.
Yeah.
All right.
Me?
How about you? You've got 2 you're working on right now. I guess that counts. No, that Drifter doesn't count because you popped it pre-movie, or pre-podcast, so the Drifter you've just taken your sweet-ass time on.
Stupid.
So, including the 1 Keystone Light in your hand.
I'll match this auspicious guest over here. 7.
All right.
Let's make it 3. Let's do...
Are you going to drink 3?
7. No, let's make it 3 that are drinking 7.
Oh.
What a wuss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to just drink 3. This one, I'm feeling buzzed already after this Keystone Light.
Hold on.
Yeah. Are you going
to
finish it?
Yeah, I just want to get to the
power-up. Yeah, Matt doesn't know the power-up yet. It's a pretty good power-up. It's a Boogie Nights power-up. Mine's done with 1.
The main point of the power-up that you should take out of it is up.
That's right.
All right, hold on. Here we go.
This is a giant cock.
wonderful.
Thank you, so Julia.
Wonderful.
All right, so 7's all around.
This is our second best movie behind The Lost World Jurassic Park.
That's right. We'll come back. It might be that we come back after the concert, unless, I don't know, I don't think we're going to have time, but we'll come back after the concert and tell you what we did, and hopefully,
I could be sleepy.
That's right. All right, so we'll see you then.
Bye.
Welcome back to Critical Drinking.
I'm parched. I'm thirsty.
I'm Reed Rothschild.
I'm Roller Girl. Don't you come in me.
And I am Buck Swope.
That's right. And we just watched Boogie Nights.
About 3 hours ago.
Yeah, that's right.
4 hours. 4 hours ago.
So we watched it. We
went to a concert.
We went to the Temper Trap concert.
It's a temper trap.
That's right, and it was a great concert.
It was quite excellent. I'm glad the second act got canceled because it meant earlier to Temple.
Yeah, no kidding. But now we're back, and we're talking Boogie Nights.
Our fake mustaches.
That's right. Oh, my gosh.
We're the king of the concert.
Yeah, you'll see them.
Yeah, we got to go on stage and dance. Yeah, and
that's right.
All of a sudden, they're like, fake mustaches, fake mustaches. It was really a great song, too. Yeah.
It was a great rendition. Yeah, that's true.
The big concert. That let's was. Just say the number of digits I got equals over 100.
And he's not talking about his penis.
Well, maybe if you're using millicentimeters.
Millimetric time?
Millimetric time.
Nice. All right. Well, let's, if we can remember, I think we can all remember, how many drinks did we all have before the concert? I know that I said 7. I had those 7.
Yeah, it's easy because we all said 7, we all did 7.
And I finished my drifter.
That's true. So you had technically 8, but 7, technically 7, because you cracked it beforehand and you didn't finish it, because it's kind of a bitch move.
Bum, bum, ba, dum, boo.
It's kind of a bitch move. Kind of a bitch move. Oh, fail. Ass. Gonna put the ass stamp on that.
Mustaches.
But, yeah, no, that was a great song that they did. I'm impressed that they actually had the wherewithal to find us and then sing a song about us. We were in the back. Sing a song about us.
It's so funny. Every time he sang, he looked right at me and pointed.
Sweet fake mustaches.
I just let my boner lead me up there. That's true. It was weird.
It was. It was like, you know, in that scene. What's it called in Princess Bride, where he like lets the sword guide him? It's like Ryan was holding his cock, letting it go, and then he just stabbed the guy.
Right,
he's like, oh, sorry,
and it was
that's
right.
My penis. And it kind of hurt that it shot right at you, but.
We watched a movie.
Yeah, we watched Boogie Nights. Let's
it
go
was
over
good.
What we thought about that. I'm gonna go first. Because I know that Matt has a lot to say.
Yeah,
about
Matt,
this.
You can go last.
Well,
I'll
see
be
about
second.
That. Yeah, we'll see about that.
All right. So first of all, I'm a big fan of character development in any movie. I'm also a big fan of quick but effective character development, especially in a great ensemble cast like this.
Yeah.
This movie really had
the best.
It had awesome character development.
The best supporting acting.
Oh, it really did.
Ever. Let's go over it.
Dude, it did. Okay.
Julianne Moore.
So, first of all, your main character is...
Mark Wahlberg.
Marky Mark.
Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds.
Julianne Moore. William H. Macy.
That's right.
Heather Graham.
John C. Reilly.
Don Cheadle. The best, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
That's true.
Thomas Jane shows up.
Yep, Tom Jane.
Philip Baker Hall.
There's 10. Three names.
Sit right there. Yeah, that's 10, and that isn't even the extent of it. There, are
Alfred Molina.
My favorite scene. Shows
the guy that says, "I gotta wake up 3 times a night to take a piss from the rock," and the person below him.
Yeah.
That likes
yeah.
little boys or
it's
girls.
True. No, it's a great ensemble cast. But one of the things I really appreciate is how each of these characters, at least like the 7 or 8 main characters, like main
the 7 or 8
ensemble,
main characters,
you know,
I like it.
Had introductions all to their own. Mm-hmm. Like they had at least, you know, a three minute scene that really defined who they were in a very subtle way. Like there was no voiceover saying, you know, this person is really fragile because their parents left them when they were 12. But they have found their way into, you know, their own and now they're in porn.
Roller Girl is only good at 2 things, sucking and taking cock.
That's true. But don't come in her.
Don't come in her.
And don't disrespect her. You're going to get a fucking wheel to the face.
Yeah, like 4 wheels.
Yeah.
That's my new nickname, 4 wheel.
But yeah, I think that the impressive part, like the first 20 minutes of this movie are just basically going over each character and kind of introducing them in their own little scene. And then after that, they kind of seamlessly flow into each other. Like, all the characters kind of work together and just come in. And none of them, nobody's, like, scene stealing. You wouldn't know you wouldn't think that these 8 characters were all fighting for screen time or anything like that. It was perfectly woven into each, you know, into the story, like, very well. I was, you know, that's one thing that I appreciated about this movie.
That's a good point.
Is that a good point?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Mm. That's a good point.
Second of all, this is a nitpicky thing. Mark Wahlberg does a lot of exhaling in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where he'll say something, and then he'll say another thing.
He does a lot of exhaling in real life. Like,
God,
all
it's annoying.
Acting.
Yeah.
I think this was either his second or third movie.
This was what came ever. After Fear, which was a far superior movie.
Yeah.
Starring him and Reese Witherspoon, where he beats himself up, including a scene where he looks in the camera and starts going, I love you, Nicole! I love you! And then he beats himself up, and then it looks like his dad, or her dad beat him up.
That's awesome.
Sympathy points for Reese Witherspoon, our dub.
You know what would have been better? If someone actually did beat Mark Wahlberg
up. He couldn't, though. He was so good. He cut the dog's head off.
Ooh.
Cut the German Shepherd's head off in front of the kid, and then they started attacking.
Aww. That's sad.
Poor dog.
Last couple things. The Alfred Molina scene is my favorite scene in this movie. It comes late.
It's the only thing that came late in this movie. End the show. Just turn it off. It's over.
We're done. We'll see you guys next week. This is a great show. Episode 27 is in the books. But yeah, it's got music throughout. It never like fades or, you know, is ducked by the dialogue. It's really tense.
Yeah.
And then it works so well just in the frame of the story. One thing, this movie is 2.5 hours long, and one thing that they probably, if they were hurting for time, like if they wanted to cut it down, could have taken the Alfred Molina scene totally out, because really it didn't relate to anything other than a little plot point saying Dirk Diggler is down and out and needs money. Like, these guys need money and they're kind of desperate. That's all it said. But so it could have been chopped out, but there's a reason why it wasn't, because it's such a great scene. Like, it just adds to the movie, if not the story, it adds to the movie very well. Next, the camera work, kind of related to that, the camera work down the stretch was really engaging. So it's kind of a movie where, you know, it's a roller coaster where you're at the peak about an hour and 15 in, and then the rest is kind of like the downturn.
Yeah.
And so it kind of gets depressing, and it's where a lot of movies would like cut the music, get really, you know, dramatic and really depressing. And the camera work was really engaging, and the music never failed either, I don't think. Lastly, with such a cast of ridiculous characters and ridiculous, you know, parts, I guess, Don Cheadle does such a good job playing the quote-unquote straight man in this, where he's like the one guy who's, you know, down the straight and narrow, and
away from it. I'm an actor.
It's kind of keeping to where, you know, he's a normal guy. He's just in this. Yeah, he's an actor. He's not, you know, getting all wrapped up in the crazy, you know, it's the lifestyle, I guess. And, you know, for a movie that gets so crazy sometimes, you see one 30-second scene with Don Cheadle and you kind of realize, oh, yeah, he's like the normal guy and all the rest of these people are kind of crazy. And it's just a good, like, you know, jumping off, or not jumping off point, but like a baseline, a measure, you know, measuring stick for the rest of how far they've gone, kind of, throughout the movie. But that's it. That's all I wanted to say. Great movie. Nothing, you know, it's not like we're here to review movies to tell you, you know, new things about them. Because all these movies that we review are all, you know, have been out. You could read Ebert's review.
This one's what, now, like 13 years old?
Yeah. Yeah, you can read someone else's review if you want to hear, like, the, you know, the breakdown. But these are just our points. So, yeah. Ryan, you're pointing the pen at me very aggressively.
You say that it's depressing at the end? What's so depressing about getting a free sack of money and a free dozen donuts?
That's
nothing.
True.
I don't care what happens.
He doesn't take the donuts.
Well, he's a stupid idiot.
He only takes the money. He's talking about Don Cheadle at the end. When he gets
DC is what
he has brains on his head, though. He has free brains in his hair.
Yeah, you can put that on the donut, raspberry filled.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
think about it.
I've thought about it.
That's
he
not
doesn't
depressing.
Get. He doesn't. I've thought he doesn't take the donuts.
I know.
Of all things, he wants the donuts.
He came in for donuts.
It's even more depressing that he takes the money and not the donuts.
That's true. He could have just run out there and be like, "Oh God, he's messed up." But no, he took the money.
Mm-hmm. He got two bear claws.
Because really, up until that point, he was a straight man until he took the money. Because he needed a quick way out.
But that was it.
The bank let him down.
That was it, though.
That was
like the end of his storyline.
Yeah.
Very gay money. He was a straight man until he saw that money. It was very gay.
You can really...
Quite queer.
You can interpret that scene, really.
Queer.
Multiple ways.
Uh-oh. We got the liner notes over here.
What else you got?
TK421. Now, let's go. Is that an homage to Star Wars? Which is TK421. TK421. Why are you not at your post? Or was George Lucas giving an homage to technology at the time?
Right, yeah.
That's what I need to figure out. Yeah. Was it just something like, because they're both supposed to be at the same time?
Right. Yeah, because when Don Cheadle's selling those stereos, he uses
TK421 two or three times.
Yeah.
So it could have been the stereo equipment, or it could have been, because obviously Star Wars movie...
Not an intentional, not his character was giving a shout-out to Star Wars, but, like, the name of the equipment being Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yeah.
But see, he didn't mean to.
Because he wrote and directed this, so his and it was an original screenplay, so it's not like he got it.
And he mentioned Star Wars.
Yeah, he did. That's right. Anything else? What else you got?
Yeah, he first did the Dirk Diggler story, and that was like a 1991,
That was
like one of his first movies, and then he
pin-throwingly mind-blasting.
But
and then he kept throwing.
Huh?
He did the story in 91?
He did the Dirk Diggler story, and then this was kind of the expansion of that.
Oh, so he like made a movie of it?
He made, yeah. That was like first.
Is that a short?
I think it was a short. Yeah,
okay. I guess his student film or something?
Yeah, and then this is the expansion of it.
Cool. Well, it's obviously
and it's based on a real porn star.
Yeah. What else you got?
That's into my review, and I enjoyed the movie. I've seen it before, but I enjoy it. And Julianne Moore had some awesome, awesome lines in this, such as, "You got a big cock, and just come in me. Or you can come on my tits, or start at my stomach and come on my tits."
That's right. She also had some great nipple shots in this.
She did.
Like full-on nipple
as
shots.
As in every other movie she's in.
No, she didn't give her nipples away to the T-Rex.
In Jurassic Park.
She might as well should have.
She didn't give her nipples away in, like, Children of Men, which I thought she was awkwardly awkward in that movie.
She didn't in that one?
No, she was so good in that. But then she had stupid lines like,
you
still like it in the afternoon?
Funny you say that. My first point about character development,
uh-huh.
I think Children of Men did such a good job of introducing Clive Owen's character.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like watching TV in that cafe in the beginning of that movie.
Yeah,
he just parts the crowd, orders it, walks out, and then as, you know, they're talking about this murder
as he was pouring whiskey into his coffee.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, it's still showing the TV. He takes a flask out, pours whiskey into it, meaning he's either been there, done that, and is just tired of it, or like he's totally oblivious. And then, you know, the coffee shop explodes. And so he could have been killed, but because he was oblivious or because he didn't care, he was spared. I thought that was one of the best. Like, it's really good. It's good.
It's a great movie.
Matt, what do you got for Boogie Nights?
All right, yeah, I love this movie. I've expressed that before, so I'll just go ahead and run down the list here. One of the reasons I really love this movie is because it starts with such a lighthearted tone.
Yeah,
and then,
it really
does, about halfway through the movie, it really transitions into, like, a very dramatic and serious film. I mean, really.
Yeah.
It becomes very heavy.
It really does.
At the beginning of the movie, you know, it's just like, it's really, you know, it's fun. I mean, we start with this. Well, first, actually, we start with this melancholy music that opens, and there's just like a title card that just says
Inter-melancholy music, as you'd say.
It just says, you know, PTA film, you know, film by Paul Thomas Anderson, or something like that. And, you know, it's really melancholy music on a black screen. And then, that right there just kind of tells you that, you know, something bad's going to happen in this movie. But then right after that, you know, we burst into this nightclub and The Emotions, Best of My Love is playing.
Uh-huh.
And then that takes us into this masterful long shot, you know, that just takes us through the club and quickly introduces us to every character in the movie who is associated with Jack Horner.
That's right.
Wrong. Philip Seymour Hoffman, wasn't it?
Are you sure about that?
I don't think so.
He might have been.
I don't think we've seen
mostly every character.
Yeah, you might be right.
And
but yeah,
it's just a really good long take. It's about probably 3 minutes, and then it ends with Mark Wahlberg's character, and just really
and
just
Jack Horner. That's a great exchange.
Yeah, it just really sets up the movie very, very well.
Agreed.
I believe Jack Horner is the name of like the lead paleontologist of our time.
Is that true?
It's what Dr. Alan Grant was named. His name might be John Horner, but it's Jack. Or John Horner. Or James Horner.
James Horner, I believe, is a composer.
Yeah, that's the composer.
Yeah.
Jack Horner, he loves dinosaurs.
All right, keep going.
All right, yeah. Another one of these things I have here on my list is about all the references that I made to other movies. And actually, Ryan pointed out a new one.
Yeah, we think it's
Star
a new
Wars.
One. Is it a reference to Star Wars? Or
what was it again?
TK421.
Yeah. And then there's another one during, you know, a party scene where someone dives into the pool and the camera follows.
Yeah.
And that's The Graduate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's just like little things like
that's true.
Which make me really love this movie more. Because it just shows its appreciation for the past. And I really like that. Another one of the good scenes from this movie is the little Bill long take when he finds his wife fucking another person
for the last time, let's say.
And this is like one of the best just sequences in the movie, really. I mean, I just love it, you know, because it's like 3 minutes plus of just unedited.
Yep, just one single take.
You know, and it's just the music is so great, so dramatic, and it's really takes us and transitions us into the next part of the movie.
Yeah.
Very well.
Yeah. It is good.
The guy fucking his wife wasn't the only one popping something.
Excuse me, sir, your mustache is falling off. Please re-affix that.
And then...
Please re-affix that.
One last thing here. I could go all day with this one, but... just the last, maybe, what is it? Last act of this movie. I think it's called Long Way Down, One Last Thing.
Yeah.
Is what it's titled as. And that's what you were speaking on earlier, is when Dirk and Reed and whoever Thomas Jane's character is.
Yeah. Yeah, and
the leader.
Yeah, they go there to... What, pick up drugs, sell drugs?
No, they sell drugs, but it's cut.
Yeah.
So they're trying to sell them trash.
Yeah.
And then get out of there with the money.
Yeah, and that's just really, like you said, that's like one of the best scenes in the movie.
Yep.
If not the best, because the music just really flows super well. It's
over. There's no break in music other than this one specific break, but then like music is constantly playing
and it's over great, the rest of it. Because on top of that, I mean, you have this... You know, really poppy music in the background, but then all these characters are super tense.
Oh, I know.
And like, you have the firecrackers, and it's just like...
Yeah. It's like a gunshot where you're like, every time you're kind of like, oh, God.
It really just contradicts itself and just is better for it. I mean, I love it.
It makes you wonder what happened to Doc Ock between then and Doc Ock.
I don't know. I've never thought
that. And I want to applaud John C. Reilly for going, of course, unknown to Hollywood. It was great.
Hey,
John C. Reilly... started out very, very slim, and he got really, really pudgy, and now he's slim again. And I really appreciate you showing us the pudgy side, John C. Reilly. I mean, a lot of people start out pudgy and then get skinnier. Not you, John C. Not you. What do you squat?
350.
No big deal. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Oh, you go to
that's a great
Victor's?
That's the best
interest. You know, of course you don't, because I would have seen you there.
I'm there every day.
Yeah, every day.
Oh, I would love to work out at Victor's, yeah. So now, I mean, is that our takes on...
That's pretty much it. Yeah, I mean, okay. If you haven't just, you know, if you haven't seen this movie...
You're missing out, yeah.
Yeah.
See it.
You gotta see it. It's a good one.
Let's get some ratings.
But yeah, let's go ratings. So since I reviewed first, I'll go first. I give this movie an 8.5 out of 10. I believe this is the first half I've ever given. I give it an 8.5 out of 10. Just because there's... It... The reason why it's not higher is because being... a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, I've seen better Paul Thomas Anderson movies. In my opinion, this is not his best. So given that this is not his best, that means it can't be a 10. And really, it can't be a 9, because like I said, I've never seen a 10. And I've never seen a 0. Or I've never seen a 1.
Or whatever I said that one time.
Now, Alphabet Killer was a 3? Or 2 or a 3 because of the booby bump.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, I've never seen a 10. And so it can't be a 9 because I've seen... Because honestly, I think There Will Be Blood is a better movie than this, you know, as a whole. But 8.5 out of 10 is, you know, that's my rating. So, Ryan.
That's a stupid score. I give it 8.5 out of 10.
Wow.
With your stash dangling.
Yeah, pull that mustache off.
Well, I really enjoyed this movie. I'm not a criticizer of long movies.
A critic?
Criticizer of long movies. But there were some points that this did feel a tad bit long, not ripping. I mean, I know it had it did have some points that felt a tad bit long, but it's a good movie, best supporting cast of all time, a wonderful, wonderful soundtrack. I'm with Kev. It's not my favorite Paul Thomas Anderson movie, but it's top 5.
Yeah, good point.
It's a Paul Thomas Anderson joke.
Out of 6.
Yep.
Hey, but he's got a new one coming though.
It's true, but it's not right yet.
It's about Scientology.
It's not right yet. Is it?
That
it's with
good.
Your. It's with your favorite.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
It is.
Oh yeah.
He plays like the leader of some Scientology group.
That sounds
which
great.
Which is not called Scientology.
I just have something. You guys aren't gonna be able to hear it really, but I'll hold it up to the mic. Oh, yeah.
This is a giant cock.
There we go. Matt, you ready?
Yeah, this is a 10 for me. This is like...
You said it was one of your favorites.
This is like top. This is like top five all-time favorite movies for me. I don't know why. I just really love this movie. I mean, I do know why, because it's really, really good. Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, if I were to make one critique, I would agree with you, Ryan, that it is a tad bit long in scenes.
Well, there's just that point.
I think that the whole subplot with the Brock Landers, you know, that, like the documentary, the little, you know...
Yeah, the little
documentary thing. Yeah, I think that could be eliminated.
Yeah, well, there's just if a something point, there's just a point at the movie, like, and like I enjoy the whole movie. But there's a point at the movie when you're watching it and you're like looking at the thing, you're like, oh man, there's still an hour left. But it just didn't feel like there was an hour left in the story.
Right.
Like,
But then, I mean, like the last
and it does pick. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does
like
pick
the
up.
Last 40 minutes of this movie is just like super
there's
intense.
That 10.
No,
yeah,
true.
The,
yeah.
10 to 15 minute stretch where you kind of like I thought, I mean, you know, one story has ended, and now we're figuring out that we're going into the story of so many
true,
other people.
True, true, yeah.
That would be a criticism
good
that
point.
I share with you.
All right, well, that's what we think about Boogie Nights.
Hey, that didn't take too long.
No. Agree or disagree, go to the website, go to the Facebook, go to Twitter, you know, twitter.com/criticaldrinkin without the
Our
G.
Our poll question should be, does Kevin have a longer penis?
I'm not sure. Well,
I'm voting no.
You're an asshole. It is by a quarter of an inch.
I live my life a quarter inch.
Facebook.com/criticaldrinking. criticaldrinkingpodcast.blogspot.com or at no criticaldrinkingpodcast.blogspot.com and email us at criticaldrinkingpodcast@gmail.com and call us at 509-43-DRINK. Don't worry about that last little comment about the cocks and everything like that.
My mustache feels off-center.
Yeah, it's a little bit. Your mustache is a little off-center. But yeah, give us some feedback if you agree or disagree or you want to talk about anything else. Expendables tournament, actually. Tell us who should have won. Should the Terminator, the one seed, have won? No, but if you think so, tell us. All right, we're jumping into what we watched.
I want to go first.
No, let me start.
You go first.
I hardly watched anything. I was gone the entire weekend.
I only watched three things that I remember.
So, I mean,
I have a list. I have a solid list.
I only watched two movies and, you know, a few episodes of a TV show.
Okay.
So, I watched Happiness.
Oh, that's what you're talking
which
about.
Which is, like, one of the craziest, weirdest movies that I've watched in a while.
Who's in that?
It's with Philip Seymour Hoffman and then...
Personal favorite of the show.
I think
show.
Like Dylan Baker is his the actor's name.
Okay.
D. Bake.
He was in something. But it's really
it's Cliff
like,
Curtis in it.
No.
Was it Dylan Walsh?
Can't be good then.
No, not Dylan Walsh.
Oh,
but he's like, so good in The Stepfather.
It really I mean it
not drinking your beer?
You are drinking, yeah.
My bad. Let me
I thought you were taking a look at his extremely leisure like position.
Well I am. It's very
It's casual. I'm very refined right now.
Act casual.
No, but it really, this movie discusses some really, like, taboo themes.
Oh, very.
Which,
it's very uncomfortable for people that...
Yeah, this movie gets very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
and I would not recommend it for...
Mother and son teams.
Just for, like, for anyone, really, unless you're, like, really serious about movies. But there are moments in this movie which are very well done.
Yeah.
And so, for that reason, I would definitely...
Like when Mark Wahlberg's nipples met Julianne Moore's nipples in this, it was weird. He had such hairier nipples than hers.
That's not right.
All
right.
What else? Next one I watched for the first time ever, surprise, I watched Schindler's List.
Yeah, that is a surprise.
Yeah,
great movie. It's like one of the top 10 movies of all time.
Took me 20 years, but I finally did it.
Yeah. It's true.
You know, I only have good things to say about this movie.
I mean, you really shouldn't have seen it in your first 14 years of existence.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I feel good about seeing it.
You have to be old enough to see it.
I definitely appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's a very good one. Still not my favorite Steven Spielberg movie.
Only
Raiders is my favorite.
Thank you. Our
commentary.
Jurassic
Park is my better favorite. Than
but this
are you going to listen to our commentary?
Yeah, I need to.
Are you?
I need to.
It's okay. Ryan kind of half-ass it, in my opinion. Half-ass it.
But I mean, Schindler's List.
I quarter-ass it, though.
Deserves all its praise.
I quashed it.
All right, yeah. And then the next thing I watched, the first two episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm Season 7.
Ah, yes.
And that's
such a great show.
That's all I watched.
Great show. Ryan.
Oh, me? I watched what you said has the most cameos ever in it.
What's that?
Funny people? Told me not to. No, even more than. Well, you said funny people, and this movie had the most.
It's recent, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is it?
Are you having a laugh?
Oh, yeah, Invention Line?
Yeah, I just.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It does have a lot of
cameos. So many cameos.
Including the best cameo ever by Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yep.
Edward Norton.
As the bartender. Yeah.
With a beard.
It's like Louis C.K. is a drunk guy, and Philip Seymour Hoffman is a bartender. He's like, what would you do if you had, you know, if you could do anything, what would you do?
Grab tits.
And he's like, oh, Philip Seymour Hoffman, oh, yeah, yeah. And they just make the motion.
Edward Norton as a cop was pretty funny.
Yep, Edward Norton as a cop is hilarious because he confirms to everyone that he is actually racist.
Yes.
He's saying, I'm just glad you guys weren't a couple of black fellas.
That was a good movie, and I really enjoyed the religious satire of it. Mm-hmm. I thought that was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted, because they didn't really advertise as much that was. I mean, they showed like him as Jesus, but I'm glad that it went kind of dark.
Yeah.
And then it kind of stayed that way. And they did a good job of making Jennifer Garner hot. But sometimes she's hot, and then sometimes she's on What Would Tyler Durden Do?
A lot of times she's
and
not
she's
hot.
And she's not hot there.
Right.
I saw the other guys in the theater.
Okay.
I went into it thinking it was getting a 20% on Rotten Tomatoes. And then really? I saw it, and I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it. I mean, I thought it was funny. And then I saw
it. And you're like, oh, I shouldn't enjoy this. That's 20.
Well, then I went and saw it was like an 80% or something like that. I was like,
yeah, it's like 70-something%.
Yeah, 79%. I was like, oh. And it was fun. There were some funny parts. I'm getting tired of Will Ferrell doing his, like I said, he needs to stop at like line two of his joke.
Yeah.
Like he gives like, this isn't giving anything away, but there's a scene in it where he's like laying back on the, after something explodes in his face.
Dude, that's on the commercial. That's on the trailer.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, I just want to breastfeed right now. Like, after saying four other things before that, I'm like, listen, the first two were funny. I don't need your other three comments. Yeah. And that's how it is throughout the whole thing.
That's true.
Overall, the cameos in it were funny. Well, the beginning was funny.
Sammy J and The Rock are hilarious.
And then having someone sprint at someone and yell, no one leaves my house without making love to my wife was very much worth it. No one was it. He ran after us. That was like 20 miles ago. Oh my god! No one leaves my house without making love to my wife.
That's right. Yeah, that's funny.
My last one was I saw 21 Grams, which
That's a good one.
Depressing as shit.
Yeah,
though.
I was about to say.
God
it's
damn!
Funny. I was watching it today.
It's a good movie, but
I was watching it with my friend.
See it when you're in
well,
a good
I was watching
mood.
It with my friend Jeff, and he's watching. And he goes, movie's depressing. Does it end happy? I go, no. Because what was between this and Schindler's List? I go,
we know how that one is.
I was like, I think this one might actually be more depressing than Schindler's List. At least people survive at the end.
I can attest to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
21 Grams, a wonderful follow-up to Amores Perros.
Yep.
I don't know if it's better, but it's better acted. Because it has, like, the best performance of all those people's careers in it.
True.
Pretty much.
Besides Benicio del Toro and Usual Suspects.
That's true.
Give me fucking keys, fucking cocksucker. You know, like.
Yeah. Right.
Give me the fucking keys.
You're fucking
cocksucker. The edited version.
Fairy
godmother. Yeah. Give me the fucking keys, you fairy godmother.
That's right.
Best Baldwin performance ever. All right, that's the end of my what I watch.
Right. Mine. I'll start with the other guys. I saw the other guys this week. Similar to you, thought it was pretty funny. If I would have gone into it thinking it had gotten a 20%, I might have liked it a little bit.
Because
I would have been like, oh yeah, I agree. It's about
if
a
someone
two.
Someone call 911. Holy shit!
Yeah, because that was not shown on the trailer like a million times. I think we've talked about this already, and first of all, I think this is a very underwhelming movie because it could have been so much better on both. I think Mark Wahlberg. Just is like
Mark
almost
Wahlberg
pigeonholed into being a yelly whiny guy, and then Will Ferrell is pigeonholed into being a
Will Ferrell,
a but not even Will Ferrell, like Will Ferrell from what's the movie Stranger Than Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the exact same. However, if these guys, the best part of this movie was the intro with The Rock and
they
Samuel
were the
L.
best
Jackson.
Characters of the whole thing.
They were. So if they could have just switched Samuel L. Jackson and The Rock with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg. Like, just switch the characters. If this is a movie about The Rock and Mark Wahlberg, or The Rock and Samuel L. Jackson, this would be hilarious. If they were just, like, if Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg's characters in this movie died right off the bat, and then Samuel L. Jackson and The Rock's characters in this movie played out the whole movie, it'd be awesome.
Well,
but I just thought this was just...
I felt that Mark Wahlberg was playing catch-up the whole time. You know, like, he was always behind in the kind of the joke.
Yeah.
And let's not forget the greatest performance out of all of them, Batman. Michael Keaton was awesome.
Oh, Michael Keaton was very good.
Just remember, guys.
This is Michael Keaton's resurgence, yeah.
Just remember, guys.
I don't want no scrubs.
I don't want no scrubs. Seriously?
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Don't go chasing...
You know... Wait.
I ain't too proud to beg.
I don't know what
you're killing me. You're killing me.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
But really, guys, I don't want no scrubs. That's the best part. Yeah. I got a kid. I'm putting him through NYU. I'm having another job at Bed Bath & Beyond for this.
That's right.
Because he needs to go explore his bisexuality.
Yeah.
We got a serial rapist and Cherry Hill employment. That's my other job.
That's right. All right. I also saw Jennifer Schmucks. Jennifer Schmucks, which I thought was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I saw this one.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
I thought it was better than the other guys, honestly, because it's not a good movie, but it delivers more laughs for me. It's like more one-liners. It's more
than
driven.
Michael Keaton, though.
Yeah, but it's really, honestly, it's a frustrating movie because Steve Carell is funnier in The Office and Paul Rudd is funnier in anything else he's done, especially I Love You, Man, because this is the exact same character as in I Love You, Man. But it's good. Third, I saw Inception again.
I saw it as well again.
Liked it a lot more. Not necessarily because I understood anything else, but because more I had talked about it the 2 weeks before. Because like I said when I initially saw this, it's going to be an amazing movie to talk about, and it really has been. And I've like, it's a better movie to talk about and to see, and for that I think it deserves a lot of credit because a lot of movies don't require any thought. Or any dialogue. Like, after the movie, you're not going to go out to a bar and sit and talk about the other guys. Or you're not going to go out and sit and talk about, you know, How to Train Your Dragon. But you're going to go out and talk about Inception.
How to Train Your Dragon 3 or How to Train Your Dragon?
Either one, because they both suck. Number 4.
Hold on, I got something to say about Inception real quick.
Yeah.
I saw it third time. I'm to the point that I've switched my stance. I think the whole thing's him in limbo. That's what
it's
I
a dream.
Well, I think
it's all a dream.
Well, I think it was a dream at the end, but I think the whole thing is him in limbo.
It could all be Cobb's dream. Why? How? There's
especially
no reason why
the
I can't.
Part, the part that I think
because he's a storyteller. What like that brings up the whole aspect of movies and the non God. What's the term? The narrator that isn't trustworthy.
Yeah.
Like the
unreliable
narrator. Exactly.
Like in Fallen, unreliable narrator. Washington.
It's just
really
like in the last movie that Leo did, Shutter Island.
Yeah.
I haven't seen
the whole movie, you're led
exactly.
by an unreliable narrator.
Exactly. Unreliable narrator. Like, what if Leo's
like,
telling you this whole story,
like
basically.
Fallen, starring Denzel Washington.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but the other reason is because of how much Saito, or whatever his name, ages from him. In limbo. But my other point is that the part where Joseph Gordon-Levitt kisses Ellen Page is like, oh, it was worth a shot. The That's guy awesome. In front of me just goes, ha, 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 fucking Frank, and then that was it.
Nice.
That's all he said.
Nice.
I was like, what is that? All right, continue.
Fucking
Frank.
I'm gonna blow through the rest of these. I saw Bronson, which is Tom Hardy, who is in Inception. Tom Hardy's basically one-man show,
mm-hmm.
which was incredible.
Yeah.
He is my new favorite actor, easily.
Me too.
He is incredible in this movie. If you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. Watch instantly.
He's good in Rock and Roll, though.
He's great in everything he's done, anything I've seen him in. But if you watch Bronson, it's on Netflix instant. Watch instantly.
It's on my Insta queue.
Next, I watch I Love You, Man, which is the reason why Paul Rudd's character in Jennifer Schmucks reminded me of it because I just saw it and I was like, oh my God, this is the same fucking guy. I Love You, Man's really funny. That's
all
I have to
really,
say about that.
Really awkward. Like, I tried watching it with my parents and, like, I was laughing
all the
time.
It's very awkward, yeah.
It's really awkward.
It's awkward humor. Next, I saw Singles.
It's a grandma on the Symbian.
I saw Singles, which is a Cameron Crowe movie about. It's set in Seattle. It has a great soundtrack because it's set in Seattle and it's basically the whole grunge movement. Uh-huh. It's a cute movie. Jeremy Piven plays a balding party junkie that works as a supermarket checker, which is hilarious.
Is it better? Because
it's in the 90s.
Is it better than Elizabethtown?
Yeah. And Bill Pullman plays a plastic surgeon. Yeah.
Bill Pullman
plays a plastic surgeon who almost gives Bridget Fonda a boob job, and it's hilarious.
He will not go quietly into the night.
No, he won't. Next, I saw Harold and Maude, which, if you have not seen it, there will be more about this later, but it is an incredible movie. I recommend everyone see it. It's on Netflix. Watch instantly.
That's a 10 for me.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's incredible. Finally, I saw The Dark Knight, and we're not allowed to speak about The Dark Knight on this podcast, so that's all I got to say.
It's the best comic book movie ever.
So that's it. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to jump into our top five. So join us when we get back. And we're back. Critical Drinking is back. We are doing our top five. We have a few announcements to make, though, first. First is Matt Regan's announcement.
Make it.
He's got one.
This is a giant cock.
And the next, I have an announcement to make. Ladies and gentlemen, I...
This is a giant cock.
So we're going to get into our top five. Our top five is top five soundtracks. Because this movie had such
Someone
a great soundtrack.
Someone named the ground rules as well.
Yeah, so I'll go over the ground rules.
We didn't talk about the top five earlier.
No, that's true. So our top five is top five soundtracks. Because this movie had such a great soundtrack. Again, this was Matt's idea, which, great idea.
I thought it was Ryan's idea to do soundtracks.
No, it was your idea.
It was yours? But no, Boogie Nights was his idea. Top five soundtracks was your idea. My bad.
But also, I don't know if you guys play with the rules, but I had the idea that we named the best track on the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, also, okay, so here are the rules. So I'll go over the rules.
This is a giant cock. Thanks, Julianne.
All right, so here are the rules. First of all, top five soundtracks. Number one rule, which should be obvious, is no scores.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference between a soundtrack and a score. Score is all instrumental. It's commissioned for the movie. Cannot have that in this on this list. Therefore, Dark Knight, Lord of the Rings,
Gladiator,
Star Wars, Jurassic Park, cannot have Requiem those movies Dream, on Raiders these lists. The exactly, cannot have those on these lists. Secondly, no musicals. So
that's not fair.
Exactly. So no sound
Beauty
of music.
Beauty and the Beast would have been number one.
No sound of music. No West Side Story. No Grease, etc. No movies where it's all about the music.
And
next,
lastly, yeah.
No, I got two more. Next, no songs. Or no movies about music. So like Almost Famous, 8 Mile, This is Spinal Tap.
Crazy Heart.
Crazy Heart. None of those movies, because those are absolutely driven around the music and the songs, mm-hmm. cannot have those. Last is no animated movies where the characters sing the song. So it's
Nightmare
basically like an animated
Christmas.
Musical.
Nightmare Before Christmas would have been my number one, if anyone wants to know.
So it's basically an animated musical. None of those. Like, no Lion King, no Beauty and the Beast, no Aladdin.
No Nightmare Before Christmas.
Right, no Nightmare Before Christmas. So those are our rules.
No Nightmare Before Christmas 3D.
So how we're going to go about this is we're going to give our top... That's true. No, that's true. I gotta scratch mine out. I've been Nightmare Before Christmas 3D on my number one. All right.
Got you getting your rookie.
So we're gonna go over our top five. So we're gonna give you our movie that we think has the best, you know, that soundtrack, and then our top song out of that soundtrack. So our I guess what would you call it? Your standout song?
Yeah. What makes this track?
Another thing. Let's sort of describe the scene. The song is used in for.
We can describe the song.
Yeah, just describe why it's important.
How it impacts the movie.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes some of my picks don't impact the movie
Okay. So,
who wants to go first?
I'm gonna go first.
Okay, go first.
My number five. So this may be obvious, but my philosophy was that this has to be the best, most appropriate use of music in a movie. It doesn't. That's a good fart. That's an appropriate, that's an inappropriate, but also best used.
God, it came out the gate like the Kentucky Derby and floundered like the
Taco Bell for you.
Yeah, that's Taco Bell right
TV
there.
TV and so, CC.
So, it, my songs have to be well used in the movie, have to be appropriate for the movie. They can't just be like the top 18 best songs ever written and put on a soundtrack and used poorly. So, for instance, hope I don't ruin anyone's list, but I know that Maddie C. put this on his list. Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump doesn't make my list because I don't think those songs were used very well.
Does Armageddon make your list?
No, Armageddon doesn't make my list.
I don't want to miss a thing. Does it make your list?
It makes my best movie scenes ever. The Liv Tyler crying. It would make my best sound, my best use of music in a movie ever.
Now the gazelle must make a choice. North to the mountains or south to the forest.
That's right. But so yeah, Forrest Gump, in my opinion, it's an amazing soundtrack. It spans 40 years, but it's just not used as well as some other movies. So that's my philosophy.
Well, give me your number five.
Okay, my number five. Harold and Maude. Just saw it, but it is incredibly poignant. This soundtrack.
Is that why you said you'd talk about it more later?
Yeah. This soundtrack is ridiculous, in my opinion. It's all Cat Stevens. Mm-hmm. And only two of the songs, were written specifically for this movie. All the rest were kind of, well, I guess on the other hand, every song was Cat Stevens, and two of those songs were written specifically for this movie. The two songs were Don't Be Shy, which is, you know, don't be shy, just let your feelings roll on by, which in this movie is...
Looked a lot better with your mustache. I like
really
it.
Poignant. Thank you. And the second is If You Want to Sing Out, Sing Out, which... And if you want to sing out, sing out.
It's been popularized by everyone. Whatever commercial it is.
Yeah. Those two songs on their own are incredible songs. I didn't personally, until I did research after watching this movie, I didn't know that those were specifically written for this movie. Those are just popular Cat Stevens songs, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they were both written for this this movie and they were both, you know, that caliber was pretty impressive. If you combine the Cat Stevens, you know, kind of library with the dark rom-com tone of this movie, which is really effective. I only saw it 4 days ago or something like that. But honestly, I don't think I've ever seen a movie like this where it's like a romantic comedy, but it's very, very dark. And it's very, like, it's very moving in a very weird way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
But... It's like the music is so effective, and I won't spoil it because I think everyone should see it. But at the end,
I want to see it.
Because at the end, and here's my standout track. It's If You Want to Sing Out. Well, I guess the Harold character at the end, he like the very end scene shows you kind of how that character has progressed, but how he's also stayed in the same spot. Because the very end scene is like you go, oh my god. And then it kind of pans, the camera pans, and you're like, oh. And then the end scene, it's right. the whole end scene is Trouble, the song Trouble,
mm-hmm.
which Trouble kind of fades into, Trouble. Yeah, which fades into If You Want to Sing Out, at the very end, like fade to credits. And it is so well done. Like it really impressed me. That's my number five.
I'll go next.
Okay.
My number five. Quentin Tarantino is known as a master of music.
He is.
And a master of soundtrack.
Yes.
But this is my favorite. You gotta kill him twice. Kill Bill Volume 1.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, mm-hmm. wonderful music. I was just thinking about some of the tracks. I mean, it's the one that came up with woohoo, 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 woohoo. And it had the whistling scene when whatever it was. Bang Bang, My Baby Shot Me Dead, you know, the beginning.
And Ironside by Quincy Jones,
mm-hmm.
which is, what is it? It's like whenever someone's going to be killed in the movie.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
like the...
Mm-hmm.
And then the greatest, I know the intro... Yeah. Well, and the score, I know we aren't doing score, I'm saying, but the... Everyone will know the score of the... You know, when they're walking in, is now one of the most... But my standout track is a remake of a 60s song. I don't know who originally sang it, and I don't know who sings this one, but it's Please Don't Let Me, or it's called Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood.
Let me tell you, Santa Esmeralda did that.
Oh, man, it must be good.
There's no reason I should know that because it's not on my top five.
Oh, sounds like a... Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood as a standout track. It has the Bumblebee song.
It's the Green Hornet thing.
Yeah, Green Hornet thing, yep. Yeah. Great.
I don't know this. There's no reason I know this.
You really know Kill Bill.
Yeah.
That's my number five. I think Pulp Fiction may have better music, but impact on the movie.
It's not used as well. I totally agree. By the way, co-produced by the RZA.
Yeah, RZA. Yeah, did the whole thing. Yeah.
That's right. Wu-Tang.
Ain't nothing to fuck with.
Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with.
But yeah, used. This is by far one of the best used soundtracks I've seen.
That's weird. It's weird that you say that. I'll talk about it later, I guess.
All right, you should go to your number
talk
five.
Talk about why you're so wrong.
All right, my number five is sort of like a... I don't know. It kind of represents all of his movies for me. Mm-hmm. Because all of his movies have good soundtracks, and I felt like I had this filmmaker on my list somehow, so I just picked one. And so it's Goodfellas. Obviously
Scorsese.
Directed by Scorsese, yeah. And I just really love this soundtrack because... You know, this movie really chronicles the life of, you know, about, what, like three people?
Yeah.
And it spans maybe like two, three decades.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And really the music, you know, progresses through each of those decades and is just like really just well picked each song.
I agree.
And so, yeah, I mean, there's a whole sequence towards the end of the movie where Henry's character, Ray Liotta's character, is like in the car, you know, trying to evade the police.
Yep.
And there's just like this whole cycle of songs, just like these 70s rock songs, which is just so good. And my favorite one from that is the piano exit from Layla by Derek and the Dominoes.
Derek,
which is just
and the Dominoes.
Derek and the Dominoes. Eric Clapton.
Clapton and the Dominoes.
That's great.
Yeah, very good. Scorsese is a master of music in general.
Yeah,
so
he reuses
really
a lot of
be...
songs. Like, I mean, like, Gimme Shelter's in this movie, which is in, like, two of his other
movies. But he loves the Stones.
Yeah, but he does.
Needs to reuse on Shipping Up to Boston. Used in The Departed for doing bunk bed push-ups by Leo DiCaprio. What's your number four?
My number four, this may appear on someone else's list, is The Royal Tenenbaums.
A great artist on that.
Yeah. This is a really great soundtrack, actually. I mean, just a lot of popular songs. A lot of pop songs, really. Some may argue that Rushmore has a better soundtrack.
Well, they're wrong.
Or even The Life Aquatic.
Well, that could be right, because David Bowie's song's redone by Portuguese or whatever it is.
Yeah. Sue George.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I really like this one. I think this soundtrack makes the movie even that much better. And really, the standout track, it fits the movie perfectly, is Everyone. By Van Morrison.
The end track.
Right at the end.
Oh, it's the second best track.
Just listen.
Are you saying Nico's the best one?
Yeah, that's no. I'm
no,
not
he's
saying.
No. He's saying Elliot.
Elliot Smith.
Yep.
Needle in the Hay. Yeah, that's good.
But keep going. Just keep going.
I love
it. Yeah, I think Everyone, honestly, because I'll talk about this later, but I think...
You'll talk about this one later,
I
too?
Think that song, there's no better...
It is. Everything
no, no, no.
in that
for
movie
Wes
is
Anderson,
really good.
For Wes Anderson, there's no better credit song picker than Wes Anderson. That guy can fade to credits with the best song ever for every single movie. Ryan, what's your number four?
Number four is a recent movie.
What's that? Inception. Boom! 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 No?
And I really enjoy this, and I've listened to it a lot lately.
Spiked it. See that? I spiked it.
Adventureland.
Mm. Ooh, good one.
80s. I'm a huge Lou Reed fan.
Yes, you are.
Lou Reed starts and ends this album with Satellite of Love and then Pale Blue Eyes, but has a Crowded House. Say now, hey now, don't
leave
it. Or, yeah, that one. And it has a... we listened to it on the way to the airport.
I think The Replacements are on
Yeah,
there.
Replacements. Yeah. Cure's on there, but my standout track is the second track. Oh, Big Star track's on there.
Yeah.
I'm in love with a girl.
Yeah.
See?
That's a good one.
Standout track, Modern Love by Mr. David Movie. Mr. David Bowie. One of the best. Pure Bowie. Pure early 80s. He's a chameleon. He's a music chameleon. But this represents the time perfectly, and the soundtrack is used extremely well, including that they use Rock Me Amadeus. Yeah, but they use it in the there's like
theme park.
Yeah, at the theme park, and so and then like I like that song. Let's just be honest, I like that song. And all of a sudden you listen to it, and then after like two times, the employee show like I hate this fucking song. And every time I hear it, I just think of the like the ride going around Amadeus, because it's when the Amadeus song ends is when the ride ends. It's yeah. Like, Amadeus, Amadeus. And then it is.
Yeah.
That's great. But Modern Love is my standout track to my number four.
There you go.
Adventureland.
My number four is Blow.
Blow?
It's a movie we reviewed on episode 14.
Well, that means your statements on episode 14 were quite false.
See? Why?
Because you said Blow had the best soundtrack there is in movies.
Okay, maybe I was exaggerating that. I think it has one of the best soundtracks.
It has the fourth best, actually.
When we watched this back in episode 14, I remember repeating, God, this has a great soundtrack, like every 5 minutes. Didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't I? When we were watching the movie. And really, it is. It's so well used. There are a lot of movies that are set in like the 70s that use 70s music. But this one, I think, kind of... This one uses them best because there are three songs that really stand out to me that when I hear them, I think Blow. Like there are only, you know, there are a few songs that you hear and you think the movie that they're associated with, other than, you know, if you just hear a song, you know, you're like, oh yeah, that was in this. These songs make me think this movie. Number one is Blinded by the Light by Manfred Mann. Not the Bruce Springsteen version, the Manfred Mann version. Whenever I hear that, like the intro.
Yeah, Manfred Mann's second best song behind Quinn the Eskimo Gideon.
Yeah, maybe true. Maybe not true. Probably not true. The next is, the next when I hear the intro to Can You Hear Me Knockin' by the Stones. Like that's the intro. That's the very intro to Blow, and it's such a good song.
That's and number three.
It's so well. And then my number one.
I have an idea for this. I want to see what
my standout track is. Black Betty by Ram Jam, performed by Ram Jam.
That's good.
Which is when Johnny Depp is walking through the Miami airport. It's slow mo. It's very short, but he's walking through to Ram Jam like dun dun dun. Black Betty, bam, bam, Black Betty. And he's just walking, like, to the beat, and then it kind of, like, speeds up, and then he meets these people, you know. But the music in this movie puts you right where you want, like, right where the movie wants you to be. Like, it puts you in the mindset, it puts you in the era, and honestly, the Stones intro comes in a close second of the standout song, but also Boogie Nights comes in a close second on... This, like, it's almost a tie between Blow and Boogie Nights, because Boogie Nights does it so much, so well also. It's just, I feel like a lot of times Boogie Nights, the music is sort of a background, just as kind of ambiance, and not, like, it doesn't set the scene, it just is with the scene. Which is something to speak for as well, but, you know, so I guess you can kind of say Blow / Boogie Nights is my number four.
One thing I'd like to add to that is I think one of the best scenes used with music in that is keep it coming love, keep it coming love, and don't stop me now. When they're having the big party and they realize, like, I feel like a pussy because I'm getting fucked, you know? Yeah, it's like talking to Pee Wee Herman.
Exactly. It's another reason why it's a great soundtrack, because you picked a different song than I did.
Number three
is Top Gun.
Everyone. The danger zone.
Okay, honestly. What?
Hanging out with the boys. Sorry, okay. I had to.
So really, when you hear a Kenny Loggins song, especially Danger Zone, what do you think? You immediately think Top Gun. Immediately. There is the same thing with Take My Breath Away. You think Top Gun. almost the same with the Righteous Brothers.
You've lost the love and feeling,
right? You almost like all these songs. You think of Top Gun,
and they do Great Balls of Fire in that.
Jerry Lee Lewis does Great Balls of Fire. Yeah, Goose does Great Balls of Fire. So
it's a great soundtrack.
So it's a great soundtrack. But the reason why it's my number three is because these songs are, whether you like it or not, these are Top Gun's songs. You can't listen to these songs without saying, "Oh, that's from Top Gun." You can't listen to these songs and say, you know, "Oh, that's a great song," without saying, "Wasn't that in Top Gun?"
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're ingrained within the movie of Top Gun. So you take a movie, you take the music, and they're basically fused together. That's Top Gun. And so it's pretty hard to disagree with my standout pick on this. It's definitely Danger Zone, because, I mean, really, is there no other song that, like, you know, jets flying over your head, what else are you going to think about? Highway to, you know what I mean? But there's, you know, there's no specific area, like you were saying, we should pick a you know, time, yeah, time, a scene.
Yeah,
there's no real scene for this song.
The beginning.
It's just the entire movie. Yeah, it's just the entire movie. So that's my number three. Ryan, your number
three. Let's first talk about the monopoly Kenny Loggins had in the 80s. Danger Zone.
The guy could
hanging
kill
with the boys. Caddyshack. I'm all well, hey, right. And yeah, don't forget Footloose. The guy dominated
that kid
the 80s.
Dominated. That's true, he did. But also, hanging with the boys in the volleyball scene.
Yeah.
One of the gayest scenes in any movie ever. But you're number three.
My number three, this may surprise some. Some may think it's my number one.
What's that? Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good Will Hunting.
I did think that was your number
of
one.
Course.
You fooled me.
Hell yeah.
Elliot Smith is my favorite artist of all time.
Didn't he do specific songs for this movie, though?
He did one specific.
Nominated for
Well, he got nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, but what?
Miss Misery.
That's right. And that's the one he got nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, Oscar for. It was at the closing scene. Gus Van Sant was a big fan of him. Yeah, exactly. Big fan of him from the nightclub, and they're both from Portland, and used his music in it, but the music was mostly in the background.
Right.
And it was weird. For me personally, it was more as being an Elliott Smith fan, nice to see it in the background,
right,
but it wasn't exactly used effectively, and that's I think this out of all my picks has the best music, but isn't the most effectively used.
Right. Okay.
But the most effective track from it is my favorite track on it's Between the Bars, but the most effective track is a song called Clementine, and they use it when they're going on their first date, and I don't know, they kind of just have their awkward moments and stuff. That's the best usage of it.
Right.
Overall, I like the music, or I love the music.
If you know Ryan, you don't have to explain this.
Yeah, it's my number three because, I don't know, it was used appropriately, but it wasn't used greatly.
There you go. All right.
You're number three.
My number three was a last-minute substitution.
A last-minute?
Because I feel like I have to include this on the list, and it may seem like an obscure pick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you guys have seen it. It's The Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
Have not.
Have you heard about that one? No.
No?
No.
I've heard about it. Haven't seen it, though.
Yeah, I really, really like this movie. And
Tell me more.
It really struck
Starship
me.
Troopers.
It's like one
Tell
of the, it's
more.
Like one of the only movies that actually, like, hit me hard, you know.
I've heard The Diving Bell and the Butterfly is
and
really
actually
emotional.
Made me feel something. But the interesting thing is, some people just like have the complete opposite reaction. You know, it's either one of those movies where you like it or you hate
Who
it.
Who directed that?
Julian Schnabel, I think. Is how
Who
you pronounce
wrote
his name.
It or something? Wasn't there? Isn't there
know.
Some big name on it?
I don't know.
Or somebody produced it or something like that.
Yeah,
some big name was attached to it. I think.
No, but I really like this soundtrack a lot, and I think it just makes the movie a whole lot better. And just one of the standout tracks that I really don't remember how it or when it plays in the movie, but it's Ultraviolet Light My Way by U2, and it's just really good.
I hate U2, but
you win no points bringing U2
well,
in this audience.
No, it's just like you gotta see this movie. It's just really, really
good.
Good.
Temper Trap's said to be a young U2.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. Hopefully they go a new direction.
Oh, well, I gotta come on. Oh, that was so weak.
Something like
this. This is a giant cock.
That was hard.
That was a hard twist. Can I ask what's the point of the... I mean, what is the movie about? Because if I like emotional movies. I like getting hit hard.
Yeah. No, it's based on...
But not by punches.
I haven't seen this one in a while, so it's like this guy who, like, owned, like, some major magazine. I forget which one it was. It was like a Vogue, you know, something of that caliber. And he has, like, some illness where he can't... He can't, like, speak... He can't communicate.
A computer,
and
right?
He uses a computer to like.
And that's the whole movie, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's like the whole movie is like through his eyes, and I think that's one of the reasons why people hate it. It's just because it's such a different style, completely different style.
Well, I would like to check it out.
Yeah, me too.
You should. I think you would like.
Is it Netflix Instant View?
I don't think so.
Ah, dang it. I hate putting things in my actual queue because, like you saw, The Sting is sitting over there. It's been sitting there for 2 weeks because I just watched Instant.
I'm going to have to say I beat you because I got Netflix because I saw Brian Feely, the one who hosts our show but doesn't listen to it.
He never gets his facts right.
Yeah, that's right. And loves 9/11 apparently.
Definitely loves it. Donnie Darko.
Over a year ago, he was, you know, when it started getting big, the Netflix Insecure on Xbox, he just watched Law and Order, like Law and Order SVU every day when he woke up. I was like, that's kind of sweet. So I got the Insecure, but with the Insecure came the, you know, you get the free two DVDs along with it. So I got Cloverfield and Rushmore.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, those are still two of the DVDs I have.
Dude, watch Rushmore, send Cloverfield back immediately.
I was like... It's like your cue is Cloverfield, Rushmore, Trainspotting.
I want to see Trainspotting.
Trainspotting?
No.
That was almost on my...
I want to see it because it's the hardest DVD to find.
Yeah.
Go try to find it somewhere. It's impossible.
Yep.
But don't worry. Cloverfield and Rushmore still have my Eugene address on them. I need to send those ones back. All right. What's your number two, sir?
Number two? It is your number two.
All right. Yeah, I don't know why you guys were hating on this earlier. Pulp Fiction.
We were saying it was great. I said it wasn't as strong. No, not. To me, it wasn't as effectively used as Kill Bill. And also, almost all Kill Bill's music is original or
first time you've ever heard it.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. But I think like really,
oh god, that's a great soundtrack. Yeah. Hold on, because it was a rim job. Basically, you just gave yourself a rim job.
Just the music in this movie just creates some really iconic moments.
It's true.
You know, the dance scene.
Yep.
With
Chuck Berry.
Yeah, I mean that is my song. You never can tell by Chuck Berry. I
wished him well or whatever. Yeah. You never can tell.
I could watch that scene 100 times over and never get tired of it.
It's a great scene.
And the music.
It's a great scene.
One of the reasons why.
It's a great scene.
The OD scene. I love the when she puts on the record.
Yeah.
And. All Tarantino movies are so great.
I know. They are.
Yeah, Tarantino is a master, just like Scorsese, like Wes Anderson. They're masters of music, I think.
Using music.
I think Tarantino's the best, personally.
Well, then he should be your number one. Why is he not your number one?
You'll see.
He said the best out of those ones.
So what is that all you got?
That's all I have.
Your best scene was the dance scene with Chuck Berry song?
Yeah. Okay. Everybody's talked about this one. They all know the song.
That's true.
My number two is also a new movie. Most of mine are all new movies.
Yeah.
My number one is an outrage. But my number
An outrage?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to get pissed. I'm going to come across the table.
My number two, I think it's probably the best whole soundtrack I've ever heard. Uh-oh. Like as an album.
Okay.
It uses The Smiths really well.
Okay.
It's 500 Days of Summer.
No surprise there. No surprise
there. It's a great soundtrack. What
it
can
is.
I say?
No, it's true.
And Timber Trap was on Sweet Disposition. It's what made it famous. I mean, that's where
it's true. That's why they came to Portland,
But I think it's greatly done. But I think that the best use of a song in it is it's a song by The Doves called There Goes the Fear Again.
That's not true. It's a song by Hall & Oates.
No, that is the best. I'm sorry. I need to shut up now.
Yep.
Because I've just been told.
Hall & Oates.
I've just been told.
Because we sang it on our podcast. And I want the love, and I'll be hard.
Then it might be. That's the best use of the song. That was a given. I don't know why I didn't even think of that.
You're an idiot. That's
I'm
why.
I'm an idiot. The other one's the Doves. There goes the fear. And that's the one where they're in IKEA and doing their whole, you know, I'm sorry, dear. There's a Chinese family.
That is a great scene.
Yeah. Soundtrack and the music is used really well in it.
Yep.
It's really a bunch of unknowns, which is also cool. But that's my number two. That is neat. Number one, Sacrilege. So don't worry about it.
We'll get to that. My number two is Ryan's number five, Kill Bill Volume 1.
Wow. I wonder what your number. What's your standout track?
I'm not going to tell you yet.
Okay.
I'm going to go through my little rundown.
I really enjoy. First of all, I really enjoy that pick.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope so. First of all, Tarantino has to absolutely be represented on everyone's list. I'm happy that he was on all of our lists.
All of our lists.
Definitely.
He definitely has to be represented. And like Matt said, Pulp Fiction is kind of the obvious choice because...
It has the best music.
It has the best music. Like,
I think it really creates... I mean, no. It's just because this movie's so good. It creates the most iconic moments.
I think the movie is good on its own merits without the music even.
It is.
The music is good, but I don't think it's used as good as this, as Kill Bill. Maybe Kill Bill is lesser of a story in the fact that it relies on its music.
Well, Kill Bill is like, you know, all style, and that's why I love it.
Oh, it's incredibly stylistic.
The music adds that style.
Yeah, but the music adds totally to the style. You know, Kill Bill's got the Miserloo, which is the opening sequence.
Yeah.
Like in the diner, the credit sequence is all Miserloo by Dick Dale, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Dale.
Chuck Berry's You Never Can Tell with the dance sequence.
Yep.
These are both great, like, you know, it's a great opening credit sequence. That's a great scene. Pulp Fiction's a great movie. But they always have such good music, but like we were just saying... This one, I think, uses it best. Co-produced by the RZA of Wu-Tang, like we said, every song in this movie, I think, lands so perfectly.
Yep.
Nancy Sinatra's Bang Bang with the tremolo effect guitar is so good.
After the Klingon quote. Revenge is a dish best served cold.
I mean, even the end scene
when the Lucy Liu is like, Does she know?
The Battle Without Honor or Humanity by Tomoyasu Hotai, which a lot of them are Asian songs, but this is an incredible song. Like, listen to it, you'll know the song I'm talking about when you hear it. But this is, great song.
But the whistle song is so good. The
great song,
one,
yep. Don't Let Me be Misunderstood, which you talked about from Santa Esmeralda, and then Twisted Nerve, which is the whistle song by Bernard Herrmann.
Yeah.
So perfect.
And that part's good. It's when the rest of the orchestra or whatever.
Yeah. It's so good. All of these songs were not... None of these were commissioned for this movie or anything like that. They were all... You know, original songs that are already out there that they found for this movie, yet they fit so perfectly into this movie. The song that stands out for me, however, is The Lonely Shepherd, which is the really, I guess it's the woman singing in a really high voice. It's a song that plays when they're with all the Hattori Hanzo parts, mm-hmm. with like the swords and crafting the sword, passing the sword in the sword, the attic sword room. This is a song that has stood out to me from this movie since I saw it originally in the theaters. It's the most incredible use because it's so poignant, so perfect. The whole movie has incredible music, but this is the one that stands out to me.
It has a very refreshing feeling.
Exactly.
Like,
that's a great explanation.
A new kind of leaf.
Great explanation. My number one now. Shouldn't be any surprise to anyone.
Hot. Is that it?
It's not it. I got a novel to say about this one. This is the Royal Tenenbaums. Tenenbaums is the best soundtrack ever, and here's why.
Good.
Here is why.
Wes Anderson's a master.
Wes Anderson is a master of finding music that...
I didn't put it on mine because I knew it would be on your guys'.
He is the master of taking classic songs that you have never heard, putting them in his movies, And then basically fusing them to those scenes so that whenever you think about that song, regardless of if it's been out for 30 years, you think about his movies. He basically takes these classic songs and claims them as his own. Like, he'll put them in his movies and they're now his. Because, like, when are you ever going to hear them and not think, oh, that was Wes Anderson? The easy standout, there is no easy standout for me in this movie, but I think there are four contenders.
Four contenders.
Here are the four. The first are the bookends. The intro song, which is Hey Jude, instrumental, mm-hmm. with the Alec Baldwin voiceover, which is...
Introduction to everyone.
Yeah, which is really good. I thought that introduction, say what you want about narration and how it's cheating, as character development. This is done really well, I think. So that's the Beatles with Hey Jude. Obviously, I love that because I love the Beatles. And then at the end, which is Matt's standout song of this movie, Van Morrison's Everyone, because the slow...
Is the trademark the, slow-mo.
Yeah, the end, the trademark Wes Anderson slow motion out of Royal's grave at the end is just so perfect. It's like a great ending song. Like I said, Wes Anderson can do fade-to-credit songs like nobody else. Those are the two that didn't make the cut. Here are the two that did make the cut of the four. The first is Nico, These Days, which is when Gwyneth Paltrow gets off the bus. It's in slow motion. Basically, time stops.
Wearing that fur coat, yeah.
Yep, time stops, and all you hear is this song, and it's so perfect. And I stumbled across a story that Cameron Crowe wrote, actually, about Wes Anderson's use of this song in the movie and how it affected the man who actually penned and played guitar on this song. And Crowe wrote, quote, "It's said that Jackson Brown, watching the Royal Tenenbaums, was so transported watching the These Days sequence that he thought wistfully, this guy plays guitar like I used to play. And then he realized, it was me. Wes Anderson's brilliant use of the Nico original galvanized and reinvented the song for Jackson Brown, who now plays the song in its original mode at all his live performances." If that's not a statement to say about that song in that movie, the use of it, Jackson Brown, who played guitar on that song,
didn't even know it,
now plays it because of that movie. That's something to say. So that's a tie for my number one most poignant, or I guess standout song, with the Elliott Smith song, Needle in the Hay. When Richie is shaving his head and his beard and then slits his wrists during this, like, you know, and he says, tonight or tomorrow I'm going to kill myself. And then right away goes right into it. Like, this, there cannot be, for reasons within the movie and without, you know, outside of the movie, that this song is the perfect song for this. And that, it, like, I've always thought that this was the most impressive scene in this entire movie. Is because it's just so impressive. It's only like a minute long. Yeah. Like the whole thing with him, maybe even 30 seconds, but it's just really impressive. It puts you in the exact mindset that Wes Anderson wants you to be in, and it's amazing.
It really touches me as a part, and I'm biased, but that Wes Anderson came to Elliot and said that I want you to make a Hey Jude cover for the beginning, and I want you to do this and that, and he was in such a shitty state that he couldn't make anything. He couldn't make anything, so they used, which is essentially it's from the second album, but his first ever recognizable song. Yeah. And the part that I find the best use of it is that, I mean, it uses a song, but the part where he's on the ground and the assistant or whatever walks in, Wesley, and it's silent. It's silent, and then it just cuts to them running down the hallway and using that dun 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 dun. That's the best. I think that's such a great use for it.
So. Yep, agreed. So that's my number one, Ryan.
I'm pulling a Jake. Yep.
Don't.
Spiker. I'm not even using a movie. I'm using something that's not even fair.
Come on.
I have to. It's the best use of music I've ever. I'm going to get kicked off my own show for this. Best use of music.
I have the worst look on my face right now. But...
And you know what it is, don't you? The best use of music I've ever seen in anything is in this TV show. Or season one only. The season one finale especially. Oh, Matt, you want to do yours?
What, I'm really curious so I can yell at you.
There's only one county. And it's the Orange County. And I don't care what you say.
So dumb.
It was awesome.
So dumb.
Great use of music. And people will always say, and I've read reviews.
The OC?
Yeah. And what? Jeff Buckley.
Yeah, the song, or the TV show.
And Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah has never been used better.
Dude, come on.
In everything. That's my number one. And I don't care what you say. Jake, this is for you. You used Deadwood as your number one Western.
He did. That was the only time he was on this show.
He used a TV show. I'm allowed to use one myself. And this was the best.
You're kicked off your own show.
Well, actual quote is that number one was The Graduate. But then I realized that I was looking at The Graduate soundtrack for the Broadway show. So it had the great Simon Garfunkel songs and then like 12 other songs.
Yeah.
Then I realized that Simon Garfunkel did all the songs, and so they aren't on there anymore.
What's your number three? Okay, Matt, you're number one now.
All right, my number one, this is good because we're actually
on
going last year. It's the one we watched. It's Boogie Nights.
Oh, see, got it.
Yeah, that's a horrible pick. By the way.
Yeah, it's really bad. I condemn that pick to ever be. That's you know what? Fuck that. The OC is now on the can't touch or on the Hall of Shame. The OC is in the Hall of Shame. Matt, do you agree?
It's Graduate's fault.
The
it's
OC,
the Broadway version.
The OC.
The real version.
Here I go. The OC in Hall of Shame.
Hey,
I'm putting it in there.
Everyone,
you can't talk about it anymore
all
on this entire.
You
can't talk about it ever again.
All you guys had the soundtrack.
I didn't have it.
You had it.
I copied it from you.
Yeah, exactly. Had it. Best use of the most popular song right now ever.
Okay, but I'm still banning it.
All
it's
right.
Banned because not only is it a TV fucking TV show, but also because it has no business being ever anyone's number one on anything ever.
It's my number one Benjamin McKenzie project.
Fuck that. No, it's not.
It beat all right,
Matt, you're number one.
Boogie
number
Nights.
One.
Let's just go over some great uses of music here.
Yeah, Matt's... Don't downplay this. Matt's number one is the movie we watched, Boogie Nights.
And it has a wonderful soundtrack.
It has an amazing soundtrack.
The first song that we hear, the popular song, is Best of My Love by The Emotions, which introduces us into the movie, into the nightclub. The perfect song.
I rearranged one of them.
It's wonderful. Other great songs in this one. We've got when Philip Baker Hall's character is introduced, we've got like the three different, what is it? What would you call those? Like cuts, mm-hmm. where it's just kind of like him entering like the room three different times. And it's a song called Driver's Seat by Sniffing the Tears. And really, like, unknown song. I mean, I've never heard about this song until I saw this movie.
Right.
But it's just perfect. I mean, it's just, like, a really good rock song. Wonderful. Other songs that are really good in this movie. Got Livin' Thing by ELO. That comes at the end.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
The use of that. Yeah, I like that a lot.
Jesse's Girl, obviously. By,
that one
was Rick Springfield,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Rick Springfield.
Yeah,
that was in
the
Albert Molina scene.
That's maybe the standout, just
yeah,
because
really
that
good.
Scene and that song is just perfect for the movie.
Yeah, that is really
and
good.
Then, I'm just going to throw this out there because I know you're going to disagree with me.
Throw it.
But I think that in
yeah,
this movie...
Say this.
Hey,
yeah, please
hey,
say this because I'll
think,
disagree with you for the
I
moment.
Think that in this movie, this song, which kind of...
Go ahead.
You
go
know...
Ahead.
Sums up the movie as we're, you know, kind of sending off the characters, wrapping up the movie. This song does it very well, and it's God Only Knows. God Only Knows
oh,
by the Beach Boys. By the Beach Boys.
Wrong.
And
no,
I think that
this
in this
the best
movie,
use. This
I think this
best
is the best use of
an,
this
an,
song
an,
in a movie.
An uneducated guess.
Love Actually.
Yeah, educated
folks.
Guess.
Love
okay.
Actually.
Okay.
You need to see
that.
We might have to bring Matt back
Screw
to
that.
Love Actually
Screw
episode.
That.
Because, listen... Love Actually has the best use of this song because it is like almost the theme song. It's so anyone who's ever seen both movies knows that it's Love Actually. No, it's
Love
it's
Actually
is
actually an awesome movie.
Mm-hmm.
What All we right. should have done? No. no, what we should have done is new topic.
What's that?
Best song used in a trailer for a movie that wasn't in the.
Yours would be Where the Wild Things Are
yeah,
with Arcade
and
Fire.
And already mentioned. Starship Troopers Blur 2. That's
right.
All
right. But we're not doing that. So let's go honorable mentions. I'm going to go honorable mentions first.
All right.
I have Philadelphia as an honorable mention because Bruce Springsteen, Streets of Philadelphia, and Neil Young's Philadelphia were both specifically for the song. Neil Young's song Philadelphia at the end of this movie is ridiculously tear-jerking. Ridiculously tear-jerking.
That's the stuff that gives you.
But those are really, I mean, those are really the only two that, that stood out. Love Actually is another one. I'll just keep it at that.
Let's keep it going.
Watchmen. It was a really good soundtrack. It wasn't used as well.
Wait, Leonard Cohen using it.
Talk about great songs. Intro used
songs.
In trailers.
Intro songs. The
but that song,
the Smashing Pumpkins song.
That's a great song.
No, that's true.
That made me so excited.
The intro, though, the times there are changing. Yeah, but the intro really of Watchmen was really impressive.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was Leonard Cohen.
Next,
Hallelujah. When they
next was Singles, which I just watched. It had a really good soundtrack. It was all grunge. The one that really stood out to me, like if I was going to put this on my list, was actually a very small time when they were getting to know each other. The closer and whatever other guy that was, the closer from TNT, you know her.
Kara Sedgwick.
It was R.E.M.'s Night Swimming, which is my favorite R.E.M. song, I think.
Independence Day soundtrack.
When they were just getting to know each other, they were coming into the apartment and it was Night Swimming, and it was so underplayed, but so very sweet. So that's my those are my honorable mentions. Ryan,
my honorable mention is I'm circling three here that I'm surprised no one mentioned or put it on. Well, one was The Graduate.
Okay. Yes.
I know, but the original one was in my
SNG.
Another one was The Big Chill.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that. That's why.
Yeah,
it's
see,
on
that's
my list.
That's also with me, but it has
class,
some
yeah.
of the best music ever on
like
it.
All the Motown songs.
Yeah,
right.
And another one that you thought would be his number one, Easy Rider.
I did think that would be
really?
Number one. Yeah, I did.
Yeah, classic songs.
Thought you would have loved that song.
I'll talk about it.
The other two I have on my list are as horrible.
The OC Volume 2. The OC Volume 3.
No,
the OC Volume
4. Worse.
Worse?
Yeah. These were not original, and so they just used music, and together as a soundtrack was really good. It was a Twilight soundtrack. I'm sorry.
No, they
were
good soundtracks, but they were terrible movies.
No, the very first one. I'm saying that wasn't original.
Good soundtrack, terrible movie.
It's great music. Another one that...
Death Cab was on that.
Death Cab? I mean, Iron Wine did that.
Yeah. No, no harm done against
Muse
the soundtrack,
on it.
But
my very last one, which was almost in my top five, was Dead Presidents by the Hughes Brothers. But I had the CD twice, and both times it was in the CD player in my mom's 95 Civic that got stolen.
Oh, fuck
both
that.
Times.
Are you serious?
Both times. It's great. Great soul, great R&B. The opening track is... really, it's just a whole kind of... You don't know... You look at it on the back and you don't know... You know, you look at the track listing and you're like, I don't know any of this, but you put it in and you know all of it. That's it.
Yep.
So, those are my honorable mentions.
Matt, yours?
All right, so... This is for all of us, I think. Every other Quentin Tarantino movie that wasn't mentioned on the list.
Yep, true.
So I think that's
Jackie Brown,
Reservoir Dogs,
that,
Inglourious Basterds, Kill Bill Volume 2.
Yep.
And possibly one of the best songs used in a scene
Reservoir
for a
Dogs.
Movie is
down.
Is what?
Reservoir Dogs, Steeler's Wheel.
Yeah.
Hands down.
That's
the best Tarantino scene with movies.
Yeah.
Is
with music.
Yeah, is the
with boobies.
Is the scene where he's about to butcher the cop and the Steeler's Wheel song. It's just that's it came on in a dealership the other day when I was working, and I was working with some lady, and I was like, you know what this song reminds me of? Have you ever seen Reservoir Dogs? And she goes, no.
What?
And so I explained the scene to her. She was kind of freaked out.
Not going
to
be seeing Reservoir Dogs.
I was like, yeah, but it's like this, you know, it's like this murder torture scene, but it's with this really quirky music, so it's like really, and the guy's like dancing around, and she was like, she didn't want to have any part of that, but yeah, keep going.
All right, The Harder They Come.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but I heard that was good.
That's a great reggae soundtrack.
The real
it's like the best reggae
movie
album.
Or the porn
in like
72,
that's not
a,
right?
Yeah.
In the
70s. Yeah, it's in the 70s. Yeah, it's like the best reggae album that's not a Bob Marley album.
Oh, with Jimmy Cliff, right?
Yeah, Jimmy Cliff's on there. The Slickers. Trainspotting's on my honorable mention.
Yeah.
Lost in Translation.
Ah, Too Young's on that. That's a great song by Phoenix. So good.
I don't know if you've seen this one, Half Nelson. Did you guys ever
see it? Oh, I saw Half Nelson.
Yeah.
I really like that because I love Broken Social Scene. And
yeah.
Just the instrumentals.
I really like that movie.
Yeah, no, it's good.
No, but I mean, I really, like, I can't...
Stick your mustache back on, goddammit.
I can't say, like... Thing is, I always think of Ryan Gosling as the racist kid in Remember the Titans, or the kid that needs to get his head, not Sunshine, he's the other guy. Or the guy in the Notebook, and then he did...
The faggy guy?
Yeah, the Notebook. Faggy. Yeah, and then Half Nelson, you know, he got nominated for an Oscar for it.
He did.
And then Fracture, I thought he was really excellent in that movie.
I also want to see...
The other Fracture?
No,
Curtis?
What's the movie where he plays kind of a... I think he might have also got nominated, but it's... Oh, God, what's that movie? He plays like a mentally handicapped guy. God, I'll think of it. Keep going.
Right, okay. Sleeper Hold?
No.
Another one.
Sequel to Half Nelson?
Another one of mine is Chungking Express. You guys ever seen that one?
No.
All right, yeah, there's maybe like 3 songs using that one, and they're all... American pop songs. Well, actually, one of them is an American pop song.
Yeah.
Mama's and the Papa's California Dreamin'. But really...
I have seen that movie, and that is an amazing song in that movie.
Yeah, and because...
Yes.
That's a great soundtrack because they use like two or three songs over and over.
But not even that. They use that song so well.
Yeah.
The movie... God, that... Okay, yeah, you're right.
I'm glad you appreciate
God,
that.
God, that is such... That might be the greatest use of a song in a movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. No, it's...
I will have movie. To see it.
Yeah,
it's
that,
perfect.
God. Thank you for reminding me of that, because...
Sure thing.
That was amazing, because it's really a very understated story. It's like a guy seeking girl who he doesn't really even know.
It's completely repetitive.
Oh,
just
yeah.
The entire
story. Well done. Well done.
Okay, another
one. Earned your pay today.
Easy Rider. Mm-hmm. I'll explain why it's not on my list.
Yeah.
Because you thought it was going to be high enough.
I thought it was going to be your number one.
Okay. I did. Yeah, I like songs that... I don't know.
Oh my God!
I like songs that what?
I just thought that would be such a poignant movie for you. Though.
No, it is. I like that.
It's like
a lot.
The turn of the movie century almost.
Yeah, and that really like initiated the pop song.
It's like a new
Hollywood into movies.
Man, I had a Jimi Hendrix song on it. I like me some Jimmy.
Like Born to Be Wild was the theme song.
The reason it's not on my list. This is kind of hard to explain. I don't know. It's like I like songs and scenes that have a lot of movement. Okay. I like when, you know, songs are based around the movement of a scene, or a scene is based around the movement of a song.
Right.
And really, in Easy Rider, it's just...
The song playing over them riding.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's true.
So it's more just about the song than it really is.
That's a good point. Okay,
It really doesn't contribute much, I don't think. Even though I love them. You know, I love all those songs. And then, this last honorable mention, which has to be said, this is the one that we were talking about earlier. It won... Best Picture. This movie, The Silence of the Lambs.
What part?
And there is one song used in this movie which may rival Steeler's Wheel and Reservoir Dogs.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
It's the scene, the creepiest scene where Buffalo
the
Bill
hose.
Is like
shit.
From
the suit.
Mirror. Yeah,
the
and he's
skin
got
the, suit.
And he's got this. Yeah, Q Lazarus.
Oh my God,
horses.
That's
that
a great pick.
Yeah. I love that.
Oh my God, great pick. Yeah, good honorable mention. That's a great honorable mention.
I'm flying over you.
All right, so let's do a real quick. Let's do while Ryan sings.
You
want to
fuck
me? Let's do our shoutouts. Let's
do
shoutouts.
Fuck me.
Let's do shoutouts. Matt, you got any shoutouts?
I'll just give a shout out to the Temper Trap. You know, that I just kind of went on a whim.
Yep, you sure
really,
did.
You know,
we bought the ticket while you were sitting here.
Yeah, just
like
about an hour before.
An hour before we left, yeah.
Yeah, and actually, you know, they have that one song, that one really good pop song that I had heard.
Sweet Disposition.
Yeah, but they rocked pretty well.
No, they did. The lead singer is really talented.
I was impressed. Yeah, they're talented musicians for sure.
All right, Ryan, your honorable or your shout out.
Q Lazarus over here. Goodbye, horses.
Here we go again. All right, so my my shout out is to
it puts the lotion on the skin.
It puts the lotion on the skin, or it gets the hose again. My shout out is to a podcast. It's Movie BS, and it's a basically if you just Google Movie BS, you'll get it. They're two Portland guys. The BS is the first initials of their of both of their last names. They are really funny. They are very witty. Like, the podcast flies by. Like, it doesn't drag at all. It's like they work so well together. However, they're also actually very informative movie critics. Like, to where they how they explain things.
Something that we aspire to be, I think.
Something that we aspire. Well, not really, because I mean, we don't aspire to tell anyone.
We're not about informing anyone. Yeah,
we're just. Hey,
we're getting hammered.
Hey, you guys remember Boogie Nights? Let's talk about that.
Had seven beers during it.
You guys remember Boogie Nights? I drank. Let's talk about it. Hey, you guys remember Indiana Jones? Yeah, let's drink to it and talk about it. Yeah, but anyways, but they're really good. So that's Movie BS. Google it. I think it's on the PDX.FM network. So if you also Google PDX.FM or go to that site, I'm not sure if it's a website, but go to that. So,
oh, hey, I want to give another shout out.
Okay.
To all the Portland listeners.
Yeah.
We all want to see this movie, and you should too. Get Low.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, bring Get Low to Portland. Yeah.
Yeah. Go see. It's in. It's at the Fox Tower.
Is it?
Yeah. So you guys should all see that movie. I know. Yeah. We are.
Get Low with
Robert
Duvall
and Bill Murray.
Oh yeah. Do
Goodbye,
it.
Goodbye, horses. I'm flying, flying, flying over you.